In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Chapter 4 of the Acts. They lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, "Lord, you are God who has made heaven, who has made earth, who has made the sea, and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, 'Why did the heathen rage, and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For by truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together.'" Me too. I crucified Jesus with my sins. "For to whom thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threats. Look on the threats that they have made against your people, and stretch forth your hands with mighty signs and wonders and miracles in the name of your servant Jesus Christ." And the place where they were shook with the power of God, and they began to proclaim the gospel with boldness. Oh, how we need to proclaim the gospel with boldness, but also with kindness, also with love. It is so important that the gospel be proclaimed from sea to sea and from the rivers to the ends of the earth, that Jesus Christ has died for our sins, that he was buried and rose from the dead. Hallelujah. How we need to proclaim the gospel. Chapter 5 of Acts of the Apostles, verse 12. "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought." I'm telling you, of course signs and wonders were wrought. The man that was lame from birth, he was completely healed. And only God knows how many people were healed as a result of the laying on of hands by the apostles. "And signs and wonders were wrought among the people, and they were all in one accord with in Solomon's porch." I tell you, that being in one accord, one heart and one mind is so important. And then it says, "And the rest of the people magnified them, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women." Why? Because they saw the works of God. They saw that it was more than words. They found that it was the power of the Holy Spirit. "Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter might pass by over the people." The shadow of Peter, that he had power even in his shadow. I'm telling you, it is so necessary that we experience the power of God. Jesus promised. He said, "Go into the city and pray until you are receiving the power of God, the Holy Spirit, and you will lay hands upon the sick and they will get better." I'm telling you, this is what we need, that people would lay hands upon the sick and they would get better. Not Reiki. You see, when the church doesn't do it, then the devil comes and does it through Reiki. And I'm telling you, that's not of God. Reiki is not of God. Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is the King. It is through Jesus and faith in his name that people are healed through the laying on of hands. Even the shadow of Peter was passing by and the people would get well. "And there came also a multitude out of the cities round about Jerusalem, bringing the sick people and them that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one of them." You see, people say, "Well, that was for the apostles." No, it's for us too. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why? Because Jesus promised that we would do those things in his name and by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is just ABCs of Christianity. This is not the depths of Christianity. It's about bringing healing to the sick. I'm not saying don't go to doctors. Go to the best doctors, but don't stop with doctors. Get people to pray with you that have faith. Get people to pray with you that want to see God move in your life. I got a call just yesterday from a woman, Jean, who was completely healed of cancer between 10 and 15 years ago. You know, they didn't give her 3 months to live, but Jesus Christ healed her by the power of the blood. Jesus Christ healed her by the power of the cross. Jesus Christ healed her by the resurrection. Amen. And then the high priest rose up, all they that were with them, which is the sect of Sadducees. Why Sadducees? They don't believe in the resurrection. But the man that was healed by the beautiful gate is a sign of the resurrection. And they were filled with indignation. And they laid their hands on the apostles and put them in a common prison. So the apostles are going to jail for the sake of Jesus, for the sake of healing people. That is the promise of God, that we would be persecuted, not that we would have arthritis, but that we would be persecuted because of what we believed and what we are doing. And they laid hands on the apostles and put them in a common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. You see, Christianity is not something, it's a life, and it's supernatural. Go speak the words of this life. And when they heard, they entered the temple early in the morning, and they continued to teach. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to prison those who they brought. And when the officers came, they found them not in the prison. They returned and told the high priest, saying, the prison truly we found shut with all safety, and the keepers standing outside before the doors. But when we had opened, we did find no man within. You see, it was by the power of God. The power of God opened the prison door. Why? So that the apostles could go out and preach some more. Preaching is the first ministry of the church, not even the Eucharist. Preaching is the ministry of the priests and of the deacons and of the bishops. We are to be preachers, and we are to preach in the name of Jesus by the power of the cross and by the power of the resurrection. We are to preach until we cannot preach anymore. I've often said that we cannot out-preach the cross. It is depth, the depth of God's love. We cannot out-preach the cross. And I want to continue to preach the cross, because through his death and resurrection, we have been saved. Through his death and resurrection, we have been saved. And the scripture continues to say, now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them, And then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple, teaching the people. Well, the high priest has to say, how did they get there? How did they get the same power that raised Jesus from the dead? Empty tomb, empty prison. The power of God, the Holy Spirit, opened that wonderful, wonderful experience of the prison gates. And when the captain and all the officials brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have them stoned. So now the apostles are back. And when they were brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, did not we strictly command you not to preach in the name of Jesus? And behold, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. My Lord, did we not tell you not to preach any more in the name of Jesus? What do they say? Oh, well, sorry. No, they didn't apologize. What do they say? Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God, not men. I tell you, my friends, I wonder how many of us obey God in preaching the gospel. Oh, you can't come on too strong. You'll turn the people away. I'm going to tell you, they've been turned away because we have been milquetoast. We have been mini minkle. Nothing happens. Nothing happens because we don't have the fervor of God, the unction of the Holy Spirit. We need that unction in order that God would do things. We ought to obey God, not men. And the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted at his right hand to be Prince and Savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is the Holy Spirit, whom God hath given to them that obey him. So we are the witnesses of Jesus, and so is the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, we and the Holy Spirit have the same vocation, to witness to Jesus. Yes, when the Holy Spirit comes, he shall glorify Jesus. Amen. We as the church are to glorify Jesus through our proclamation and through our lives. I'm telling you that we need to have lives that are filled with God. Not only do we preach the word, but our lives must be congruent with the preaching that we do. Then we go to verse 33. When they heard that they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them, then stood there up in the council a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law. He had the reputation among all the people and commanded to put the apostles forth in a little space and said unto them, Men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves to him. But he was slain, and those who had obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. So he's giving a reason whether to believe or not to believe. So he says, you know, Thaddeus, the followers of Thaddeus, when he died, they broke up. They were no longer with Thaddeus. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing and drew away many people after him. He also perished, and even as many as obeyed him, they were dispersed. In other words, it didn't continue. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or work be of men, it will come to naught. But if be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest happily you be found even fighting against God. This is the voice of reason. Gamaliel. We know it's of God. It's lasted 2,000 years. 2,000 years through many, many obstacles. We need to preach. We need to pray. We need to proclaim the gospel of the Lord. We need to do those things. We need to do what the apostles did. Many signs and wonders were given through the hands of the apostles, and all of them were healed. We need to do things like that. Why? Because Jesus promised that we would. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and they shall lay hands upon the sick, and they shall be healed. But if this be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest happily you be found even fighting against God. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles, they beat them, and they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and finally they let him go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for the name of Jesus. My Lord, we are so different today. We cry, oh, we've been persecuted. Listen, they were beaten, and they were thanking God. Oh, sovereign God, God of heaven and earth, stretch forth your hand with signs and wonders in the name of your servant Jesus. Oh, let the place shake with the power of God so that we would proclaim the gospel boldly. And daily they were in the temple, and in each house they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. Don't preach in his name. Ha ha, who are you going to listen to? God are you. God are you. The sixth chapter of Acts of the Apostles. You see, the church was not perfect. Let's see what's happened in the sixth chapter. And in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Greeks against the Hebrews. Why? Because the Hebrew women were receiving more in the daily ministration. The Hebrew women widows were receiving more than the Greeks widows. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, "It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables." No. "Wherefore, brethren, look out among for 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we will appoint over this business." In other words, to care for the widows, Greeks and Jews, now Christians. They're both Christians, but we need to find some men filled with God, filled with the Holy Spirit. "But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word." And after saying this, the whole multitude agreed, and they chose Stephen, a Greek, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, Philip, a Greek, Prochorus, a Greek, Nicanor, a Greek, Timon, a Greek, Parmenas, a Greek, Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, a Greek, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid hands on them, and the word of God increased, and the number of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. I tell you, when you get priests, you've done a good job, because they're the last ones to believe, even in Judaism. Why? Because they knew so much. They thought they knew so much, but they didn't know anything. Because if you don't know Jesus, you don't know anything. Because the whole Old Testament is about Jesus, if we really take it to heart. And the whole New Testament is about Jesus. So what did the apostles do? The apostles chose 7 Greek men filled with the Holy Spirit to wait on table. But we're going to find out they're not waiting on table. They're doing miracles. This is interesting. This is interesting. God is so powerful that when they laid hands upon the deacons, the apostolic power came upon them, and they went and did miracles, or we'll come to that. And Stephen, one of them, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. I thought he's supposed to be waiting at table. But when the apostolic Holy Spirit came upon them, my Lord, Stephen went out and did wonders and miracles among the people. And there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and the Cyrenians, and the Alexandrians, and Cilicia of Asia. They disputed with Stephen, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and spirit by which Stephen spoke. Then they called men, which said, "We have heard him speak blasphemy against Moses and against God." And they were stirred up. They stirred up the people, and the elders and the scribes came upon him, and they caught him and brought him to the council, and set up false witnesses, which said, "This man ceases never to speak blasphemies and words against the holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered." And all of that sat on council looked steadfastly on Stephen, for his face was that like the face of an angel. We're going to skip Stephen's talk. We're going to go to the martyrdom of Stephen, chapter 7. Verse 54, when they heard of 51, Stephen says, "You stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do you." Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted, and they have slain them and showed before the coming of the Just One, of whom you have been betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it? When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, that Stephen, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon Stephen with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, do not lay this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. He died. Here we have Saul. We have Saul. And Stephen's forgiveness is going to cause God to touch Saul, and he becomes the great apostle to the Gentiles. Oh, your forgiveness can do wonders, not only for you, but for the people you forgive. Do not hold anything against people, because you'll bring them to the grave. You don't need to bring anyone to the grave. Do not hold anyone from forgiveness. You need to forgive. Stephen forgave, and what happened? Saul was converted. His name is Paul, and Paul preached to the Gentiles like no other person. This is God working through Stephen, through his forgiveness. Please forgive people. You say, I don't feel it. I don't care what you feel. Just do it with your will. Forgive the people that hurt you. Forgive them now in the name of Jesus. I'll lead you in a prayer. I forgive. Put the person's name in the name of Jesus. And I hold nothing against them. Bless them, Lord. Fill them with love. Amen. I'm asking you to save the date from July 17th to the 23rd for the School of the Holy Spirit that is being hosted in Winthrop, Massachusetts. You can register at www.daysofglory.org, www.daysofglory.org, or you may call 520-423-9290. I'll say it again, 520-423-9290. So days, School of the Holy Spirit from July 17th to the 23rd, hosted at Holy Rosary. If you want to register, www.daysofglory.org or call 520-423-9290. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. We are $10,000 short from paying March's bills. We need $10,000 by the end of April. The mailing address is Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Again, we need $10,000 to pay the bills for March. You can go to inseason.net, and it'll take you to PayPal. What have we learned today? The Holy Spirit wants to come in power. What else? The apostles were persecuted, but they never stopped preaching in the name of Jesus. What else? There was a prison door opened to them by the power of God after they were put in that prison. What else? That Stephen spoke the word of God, and he was a deacon, and no more waiting on tables, but he did signs, wonders, and miracles. May Jesus Christ be praised. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.